You are about to enter the X-Files Diaries. Broadcasting from an American nuclear submarine stuck in the ice near Alaska. Here are special agents Charlie, Nick, and Annie.
And welcome to another edition of X-Files Diaries.
We're back.
Yay! Well, two-thirds of us are back. Nick, Nick's running in the cold for some reason, so he wasn't here to watch this with us. But I do know that he told me he did not like this episode. And I know I'm pretty good with most of this episode. And it sounds like you are.
I am too.
So as continues, Nick is the odd one out.
Oh, geez. Such is life, Charlie, you know.
Yeah.
Let's just jump into it. It's been a long time, but My Struggle 3 is what it's called. And it was Smoky Man's struggle, I guess.
Kind of.
I mean, it wasn't really, but I think it was kind of supposed to be his because, you know, all of the opening monologues are kind of attributed to a single character.
Yeah, but it feels like it was like two or three episodes they condensed together, I think, almost. It's weird.
So did you feel like a lot happened in this episode? Because I feel like more happened in this episode than like almost all of last season.
Well, yeah. And that's why I think like it's weird. I feel like that this episode was a whole bunch of different things. And upon first watching, it did feel a little disjointed. It felt like, oh, it was going to be my struggle. And then it's going to be the Smoky Man's struggle. And that would be really interesting. And is my struggle for going to be William? You know, is that what we're doing?
I think that's what it's going to be. I feel like I read that somewhere.
Oh, okay. I'm just making this stuff up, but yeah.
Yeah.
But then the Smoky Man does the intro, but then he doesn't do the outro, really. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, he kind of does. He has the last line in the show, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it's not a voiceover. It's not like a wrap-up. Oh, well, I guess.
I don't think that they did a wrap-up in either of the other ones.
Okay. No, it's possible.
Before we get into this, I really have to put something out there because I know that, like, I don't know if you were on the internet at all today, but the fan reaction has not been good. And I think for the obvious Scully in peril once again, Chris Carter not reading the room, Chris Carter thinking that this show is just all about rape plots and, you know, thinking that's a really cool plot twist to do. I want to put it out there that, you know, obviously, I agree. I don't think that that's okay, but I don't think that that's ever been okay. And I find it kind of interesting that everyone's up in arm about this now when I feel like this show has kind of always had that problem.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Well,
I mean, I get it now that it's happening to Scully. It's worse. I get that. And last season, that was one of my biggest problems is like, my God, like, come on, leave this poor woman alone. Like, and I feel that and I understand that, but I feel like there's more to this story / possible lie to be uncovered, obviously. And so I'm kind of reserving my judgment on how I feel about what they're doing. Like, I feel like people are like, I don't want to say overreacting, but I feel like people are overreacting.
Well,
do you?
It was interesting. I mean, I definitely, looking back, it was like, oh, Scully is fainting and falling on the ground again. Great. In a bad way. Like, not great in a positive way, but like, yeah. Oh, great, this again.
I know what you mean.
But in contrast to, like, the last episode of last season, that was Mulder going down a hole of unhealthiness the whole time. So I didn't mind that as much. It's just that reveal at the end, and we'll talk about it when we get to the, you know, what we think about it, but does feel a little bit, I don't know, in this time of age, it does feel a little bit cliche, a little bit like there's a storyline in that Marvel did in the comics a while ago. And it was like, I mean, it's more than like 30 years old, I think, but they wrote this story where they retconned in the fact that Gwen Stacy somehow had kids with the Green Goblin before she died. And it was just, it was the same thing. It was like, ew, that's disgusting. But, and
okay, I have to be, I am not a Chris Carter defender in any way, shape, or form. But I have to say, I don't think this is retconning. I really do not think this is retconning. I watched that episode recently. I remember I was texting you about it.
Yeah.
And I actually wasn't watching it for that reason. I kind of forgot about that part briefly, even though I have thought about it many times in the past. I kind of watched it more because they were talking a lot about the chip in her neck and how it had magical properties and it could cure cancer and all that cool stuff. And so I wanted to learn more about that. But as I'm watching season 7, Enemy, that's where they got all this footage from, I remembered thinking, holy shit, they did do that. What was that about? Like, and the timing was perfect. It was right around when she would have been getting pregnant or trying to get pregnant. And it made sense. And so I'm watching this ending. I mean, we're not trying to not spoil it. People watched it.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
We find out that Smoking Man, well, or he at least says that he's the one who made Scully pregnant. And I'm watching it going, first of all, ew, because that's my first reaction. But second of all, holy shit, that kind of makes sense. And I, as a TV watcher and as an X-Files fan, I have to give Chris Carter a little bit of credit for putting that in, because I do think that it makes sense. And I mean, he said, I don't take anything he says that comes out of his mouth as valid. But he said that he knew when he filmed it that that's what was going on 18 years ago. And he said, well, you know, the show ended, so we just never got to explore that story. I think that was the quote. And that makes me really mad, because I'm like, okay, so you just think it's cool to not tell anyone that. Like, that's kind of a big deal,
yeah.
You know? So it makes me think that he maybe didn't think that that was actually what happened, but he definitely thought it could be a possibility, you know, at the time.
Well,
and putting all the actual stigma about rape culture and all the horrible stuff that people have valid concerns about, I get it, I agree, and I understand. Putting all of that aside, from a simple storytelling, show Bible standpoint, it tracks.
Well, no, and I don't think it's not the retconning isn't the problem. Okay, I think it's at least for me, it was just the initial icky factor of a
right.
situation like that, especially since I think the world is trying to be more sensitive to that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
So at least for me, it was very much like I actually enjoyed this show. I thought it did everything. I mean, mainly because I was right, and mainly because it rewrote last season.
We didn't bring that back up and give you a round of applause.
We'll get back to that. But I enjoyed all of this episode, basically, once I got into it, until the last like 5 minutes, and that whole reveal was just so like icky.
Well,
now, rewatching.
It gets you in the gut, you know?
Well, it gets me, but the ick factor is the thing that really made it for me.
Yeah.
Like it's less about the reveal and more about the implications, kind of. And it's just because your mind first goes to, like, I can't believe that he physically did it in the sexual manner. I think it's all sciencey, and he even
that's what Chris Carter has said as well.
Yeah,
because
he
immediately had to respond to these rape claims with saying it's not rape, which is number one, not true.
Exactly.
And he needs to be clear on that, and he needs to come out and say, I misspoke, because I don't think that he's a monster. I think he just misspoke. Like, he's trying to make it seem not as bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would agree. Yeah, if he just drugged her and injected her with something, or turkey basted or something, like, that's much less icky than actually, doing the deed. I can admit that. But he needs to be clear when he's talking about these things, because if he's going to go this route and he's going to make this a story point and he's going to defend it, he needs to be very clear about what is going on here with his characters, and how he feels about it, instead of saying, oh, well, it's just a cool plot twist. I thought it'd be really cool. Like, no, like, you need to take responsibility for what you've put out there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
And so that's my only problem with it. Again, I don't want to talk about this ad nauseum, because I don't really have much more to say than what's already been said. But like I said, I'm open to see what happens, what they do with it, and what the truth actually is, because I think it's pretty clear that we're supposed to suspect that maybe he's lying.
Well,
would you agree?
And rewatching it, I totally feels like that. It totally feels like he's covering something else up.
He's manipulating Skinner.
But I think
what's happening.
It almost feels like a last minute decision, in terms of like, he goes, something about the baby. And then Skinner's like, so you're the father? And it almost feels sort of this like, not Ferris, like a Ferris Bueller-y kind of like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm the father, because he can't think of anything else. He doesn't want to tell the truth and he can't think of anything else. So he's kind of backed into this corner. So that's why he says it. And upon a second, like an actual rewatch, it feels a little bit more like that. And that's fine. Right. And especially with the way that the episode starts with the way, what is it? The, you've got to believe or whatever at the top. Remember,
I want to believe, and then
I want to lie.
Yeah,
is what it faded to, and so yeah, obviously anything the Smoking Man says, you have to take with a grain of salt, and it's probably not true. But there's probably something that he's hiding in the truth,
right?
Kind of.
Or, so I mean, and this also is going to roll in. I'm not going to talk about it yet because it rolls into kind of my wacky theory of the week later that we'll talk about. But I think there's lots of possibilities to what's going on here.
Yeah, I also like.
And he also says, I wanted to point this out. He does say at one point during the episode, like Monica's like, well, Mulder's, because it was like, Mulder's after you. What are you going to do? Like, it suddenly he had to change his plan, and he says, I've been at this too long to not have my alternatives.
Yeah.
And which makes me think that this was kind of like an audible. He's calling,
yeah, no, exactly, you know? Exactly. I also liked the one Twitter user that we shared or forwarded or whatever Twitter does, that was saying, you know, at the beginning of the episode, he even says, "My two sons." You know, it's so technically, if this is his son, he would have said three, maybe, because he's supposed to be telling the truth at least at the beginning of the episode.
I don't put too much stock in that. I think people are just kind of grasping at straws.
No, I know.
When it comes to that sort of thing, but I the point is taken.
Yeah.
You know, the point's taken. Exactly. I think it's troubling, to say the least, that they even went this route. Like,
yeah,
by
oh,
even
definitely.
Putting it out there. Because like you said, once the ick factor's out there, you can't like take that back. But what's upsetting is, like, obviously I think we're not going to get back to this specific topic until the last episode. And so now we have to watch an entire season of Mulder and Scully not knowing this and Skinner keeping it from them. And, you know, unless they find out in the middle of the season, which is very possible. I'm not saying it's not. But that's kind of upsetting. It's a little bit upsetting, but...
Okay.
Anyway, we should start the episode at the beginning. What did you think of the opening monologue?
It was interesting. I definitely, and Nick's not here, so we can talk about it. I mean, like, it's interesting because the Smoking Man's always dealt with previous presidents. You know what I mean? Like, and it's always been, and until this most recent president, just talking about a previous president isn't the weirdest thing in the world, right?
No, it's such a hot button. It's like you bring him up, you show him on the screen, and it's immediately tense.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and not only that, if you listen to what he's saying when 45 shows up on the screen, it's very interesting. He talks about, when he shows Trump, he talks about not needing anybody to pledge loyalty to him.
Exactly.
Okay, and then he talks about, he shows a lot of the Trump cabinet and stuff, and he says something else that's equally kind of this, like, this attack, obviously, you know what I mean, where it's sort of like, and you know, and my followers don't need to know, or something like it was something that's so obviously purposeful that you can't deny that wasn't the message that Carter is sending in this episode.
Oh, for sure. I think it's the message that many people are sending.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, exactly. This, you can't say that was just an accident.
Right. Of course not.
I'm just trying to think of what Nick's going to yell at us for. And I'm just going to say that it's not. It's not happenstance. It was edited completely on purposefulness.
No, completely. And no matter what you say, what your political bent is or whatever, no one can deny that things are different now.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anyone can or should deny that things are different. Everything feels different. You know, and so making a comment on that, I don't necessarily think is a political attack at this point. Like you said, I'm agreeing with you. I mean, it's
definitely
been framed the way to say that, hey. Well, and I remember, too, that they cut to him right after they said the word tyrant, too, which I thought was pretty great.
And they, I mean, it starts at the beginning where he's talking about all the hate groups and stuff, and they putting Nazis and the KKK on the screen, and he's talking about how those people were against what America stood for, you know, and that too, that is definitely a message that he's sending.
Definitely.
That, you know, like, so it's, all I'm saying is there's no way you can deny that that wasn't what he's saying. You know, that it's that opening monologue and the cuts and the video that you see is 100% on purpose.
Yeah. And I found what you were looking for. He says, "I don't ask for loyalty and trust, the fleeting bonds of men." And I thought it was very interesting how they had they have Comey in there, which is, I think, going to play a part because obviously we're dealing with a show about the FBI.
Well, that's,
and then they cut to, I have to say, it was just put in at the last minute, a picture of Trump and Bannon, which had literally, that whole thing had just happened yesterday.
I know.
He says the fleeting bonds of men. And I was just like, that was amazing. If they didn't plan that, that was amazingly
Remember Bannon, though, was left several months ago, too.
Right. But I mean, just because of all of the stuff that came out yesterday about the disloyalty and, the, you know, the boohooing and all that nastiness. Well,
And we'll get to parts later that I think are also echoing certain parts of the Trump. And that is the other interesting thing is you can see the cigarette smoking man being able to work within the government agencies in the past because of the normalness and the standards that the previous administrations had dealt with in this government. And and Trump,
but you pointedly do not see him in any of the Trump ones.
No, I understand. No, but I'm just saying, but just the concept that if we're going to admit that Trump is president in this show, that the disruption of Trump to everything makes it really hard for those bigger conspiracies, I think, to actually be able to be played out because he's doing crazy stuff all over the place.
Right. And is not, you know, you'd think even Smoking Man would have trouble getting in there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, it'll be interesting to see like where he is in regards to the government today. They haven't really talked about that yet. They've talked about, you know, him in the past.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. And I love the moon landing video at the end where he's on the set and they're filming.
I just don't understand the point of that. Like,
I think it was just to be cute.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, it's just to be like, oh my gosh, this guy was involved in everything. You know what I mean? And to say, it's just like the truth is out there sort of thing. It's just to say, hey, you know, look what was really going on. You know, I just think it was kind of a wanky moment and it was cute. I think it was just supposed to be.
It wasn't actually supposed to point to anything telling or specific. It's just general. No. Yeah.
And it kind of echoed the scene later where we see young Jeffrey watching it on TV and he's like, look, we really landed on the moon. And he's even lying to his son.
Yeah.
So it just points to his lies. I think over and over, it just points to his lies. And that's kind of the point of this episode.
Has he ever mentioned the moon landing?
Did he in Musings of a Cigarette Smoking
Man? I don't know. I feel like he might have. And so this is just
fleetingly.
Yeah,
like briefly.
Exactly.
If any encyclopedia knowledgeable people out there know, let us know.
Oh, exactly. And that if he has, that's what I'm saying, I guess, is if he ever did mention the moon landing in a way of jokingly saying that it probably was faked, then that makes that scene that much better for me because it's a callback.
I want to say they did. Okay. I'm pretty sure they did at some point. Maybe in that episode, maybe in a different episode. But I mean, again, that makes it that much cooler.
Wait, and the lone gunman at some point could have said something about it. But it's not quite as good. Like if Cigarette Smoking Man himself had mentioned the moon landing at some point, then it's a callback, and then it's that much better. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So. I wanted to mention, too, before we get into the whole Scully and you were right idea, I thought the previouslys segment was very well edited because I was watching the previously on the X-Files bit and I was like, wow, the previouslys made it seem like it was actually a really kick-ass episode.
Yeah.
Like it was like I preferred watching that 30 seconds of previouslys to the entire episode. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to point that out.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. So go ahead and give yourself a pat on the back.
Yay!
Because you were totally right. And again, I usually, you know, we said last season when we were talking about this that if this is the case, we aren't going to be mad at it because it's pretty clear that he planned it.
Yeah.
I can't be mad that he planned it. So. Well,
and that does, I mean, we'll take that sentence in half. Going back and rewatching it before we watched this episode, like it was an off the cuff idea that I had, I think on the second rewatch when we did a quick, recap kind of a week afterwards. And I was like, oh, look at that. Look at that. It reminded me of something from a Johnny, what is his name? Johnny Depp movie. There's a Johnny Depp horror movie.
Right. The window thing.
Yeah. The rear window. Yeah. The rear window or something. But yeah. You go through the mirror at the beginning and at the end you pull out of the mirror and you realize the whole thing has been sort of like from his point of view.
Right.
And that's cool. And so I was like, oh, it makes sense. But then rewatching it a year and a half later, I had I could always doubt, but like I was even more sure. And I think you were too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And especially once I was looking for that eye thing that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And like I said, not to be cheesy, but I wanted to believe that it was not real because I hated it so much.
Well, and that's what makes this episode good, I think.
Yeah.
Is because you go, oh, okay, that stuff is not real. Now, there's a lot of things in that they continue, which I'm kind of annoyed at. Or like I'm still...
Or that turn out to have been true.
Yeah.
In a way. I mean, the main thing, and I'll talk about it in a minute when we start talking about Scully and Mulder, but like the main thing that I appreciated was that the characters felt real this episode. Everything felt more...
true. To true. Like their characterizations and stuff.
They felt more true to their characters. And like I mentioned this to you, but I haven't said it yet on the podcast that my husband, actually, I have to give him the credit. He had the thought that maybe this was some sort of screen memory implant thing that they were talking about, I think, in My Struggle One, that the aliens do to cover up things that people find out.
Yeah.
And he had that idea just randomly. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. Can't believe I didn't think of that, because it made sense to me that everything was kind of slightly off because the aliens had implanted this, or the government for that matter, had implanted this fake false memory so that it covered up what really happened. I didn't take it much further than that, but I really liked the idea of that because it gave it purpose. What do you think is going on here? I mean, I keep saying it's kind of like, it reminds me of like a, you know, not to Last Jedi spoiler people, but kind of like a Kylo Ren Rey type communication between her and William.
And that's what, I don't think it's an alien. I think it's William.
Yeah.
Communicating and like seeing the future maybe a little bit or something and being able to like convey that to her.
But here's the thing. He seems to me, and we haven't seen much of him, but he seems to me to be in the exact same situation as her. Like he's not controlling this. He seems to be confused. Like, he doesn't quite know what's going on either. Like, every time we see him, he's grabbing his head. He looks like he's in pain, very much like Scully.
Yeah.
And so it makes, and you know, it makes me think, too, that, like, this is something that Smoking Man and Monica know about because they allude to that later.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know what's going on here, but something is going on between them, and I want to know why it's happening now. That's kind of my question, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think... I don't know. Maybe because the plans are coming to fruition or something, something's triggered or something, you know?
Right. Well, or something that, who knows, something Smoking Man did. Who knows? But like, I think, again, I think all this will be addressed at some point. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, no, and it seems like everything is going well. Now, the thing we haven't talked about was you mentioned, oh yeah, so he set this all up in the last episode, but he did go on and admit in an interview that if they had ended it last, he didn't know he was getting a new series. He never knew that. And so he was okay with ending it where he ended it.
Which is exactly what we were pissed about.
Exactly. Exactly. So
because we were like, well, Nick kept saying, oh, well, he had to have known. And, you know, sure, maybe he did. I don't know. But he came out in an interview and specifically said that he would have been fine ending it the way he did.
Yeah.
And that's infuriating. And that makes it all the more mad to read these interviews where he's like, oh, I knew that Smoking Man had impregnated Scully 18 years ago. I just didn't know if we were ever going to be able to tell that story. And I'm just like, you know what? That's bullshit. Like, you can't do that. You can't say I knew this, but then you never brought it up. Like, that seems like an important piece of information.
Yeah.
And for him to have thought that it was okay to just end the series like that is just unforgivable. That's unforgivable.
No, I agree. I agree
100%. And I stand by that.
No,
yeah.
I agree 100% too. I don't understand why he thought that was okay. And
right.
And like we said.
I don't either. It didn't feel like any sort of finale in any way, shape, or form.
There was no closure at all. Like,
no.
Yeah. And like we
we're
said.
We're not going to rehash this. We've done this enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was infuriating to read that interview. I need to tell myself that I need to just stop. My New Year's resolution is going to be to stop reading Chris Carter interviews because they just piss me off. Anyway.
Okay.
I wanted to mention, I thought it was really kind of a cute little, you know, I'm always looking for little shippery details, that the doctor comes to Mulder and says, which one is one of you Fox Mulder, which showed me that he was her emergency contact or her next of kin or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's good.
Tiny little details like that. I thought it was a nice, nice little nod.
Well, and I definitely felt like they were getting back together kind of because they had been kind of,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because I felt, we'll bring it up. This was one of my main things that I liked about this episode. And, you know, to me, it's always been about Mulder and Scully. In the end, that's all that matters to me. And that's my biggest problem with the last episode, is that they not only were not together, but they were not in simpatico. Like, it was not like they were themselves.
Yeah.
And that bothered me a lot. This one, Mulder, like I said, one of my wishes already came true. Like, Mulder's completely redeemed himself in my eyes because he was all about Scully this entire episode. He didn't do anything the entire episode that was not, like, in her best interest. Would you agree with that?
No, I...
And they even just behaved differently around each other. They behaved like a couple.
Yeah.
Like they had, like everything had been patched up.
I mean, there's a moment where she gives that weird phone call to him that at first sounds like it's not even really her, like, because of the way she's talking. It sounds like some kind of alien or the Terminator, like, trying to pretend
like bad
to
Chris
be
Carter
her.
Dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, no, everything's fine.
Right.
And it just feels like you're being held at gunpoint or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I think we're supposed
it's
to
clear
think
that everything's not fine.
Yeah. I think we're supposed to think that wasn't there was nothing funny with that. But
right.
In that moment, he might have been able to turn around if he had been able to sense. Oh, but then maybe that's just me. Maybe that's me thinking, well, that moment didn't work. It sounds like she's in trouble. He should have turned around and found her. But if it's written as if it's supposed to be good, then there's no problem.
I think you're right, but I can cut him a little bit of slack, because to me that's just kind of human error. That's not him being a selfish asshole like what he was in the last episode.
Oh, no, I understand.
That's him just maybe making a poor judgment decision. And you can tell later that he felt really guilty about it.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
So that didn't bother me.
I'm not saying that rules him out of being a good guy. I'm just saying
that's
one of those moments that there could have been another opportunity for him to be even better, maybe. But at the same time, you know, he's trailing this guy and he's already trailed him for 5 states. So it's like,
he's not going to turn around and I get it. And you know, he wouldn't have gotten her in time anyway. So I don't know. It seems kind of silly, but that was one of the main things I appreciated much more about this, is we got good Mulder and Scully scenes, lots of them, and so I appreciated that a lot.
Let's talk about this then, the car chases, all the car footage just seemed weird.
It was really bad. Everybody I talked to said it felt like a car commercial.
I think that's what it's supposed to be. I mean, like Scully pulling her briefcase out of a completely empty back of the car just so she can show the one touch closing of the back door.
Yeah, that was in the last episode. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, that was the whoops. Okay. No, you're right.
But I know what you mean. And like, it's very clear that Mulder was like in this Mustang, and it just like, that was probably the most boring car chase I've ever seen. I was like, okay, let's just make this end already. Although I did think it was pretty cool how he used his little trick to like follow the guy. I thought that was pretty smart.
Well, there was a couple of things with that. One is I never felt like the odometer was showing the speed of what they were actually doing. Like the odometer always seemed to make it seem really fast, but but then they cut to the cars and they didn't really feel like they were going 60 or 70 miles per hour, especially with all the traffic around them.
You know, this is all stuff that, like, I don't even really care about.
No, I know.
Whatever. It's a means to an end. It was poorly executed. Moving on. Like, it doesn't bother me.
And then the other half of it is, like, he knew the guy was trailing him for like maybe an hour. Like the other guy didn't see him trailing him for like the two days it took to get to South Dakota. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean,
right.
I guess that's not right because you can just, kind of.
No, I think it was like 7 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, so you know what I mean? Like,
just suspend our disbelief.
Oh, okay. So we're not going to talk about, okay. So.
No, you can. I just, I don't know. These are the things that I'm just like, eh, whatever. Like I have so much more to worry about in this stupid show that I'm like, I'm not going to split hairs about that.
I just wish they could have like, cause think about how awesome it would be if the car chase was actually that much better. You know what I mean? Like
right.
then.
The, right.
Yeah. Sorry.
I would say that like the fight scene with Mulder in the last episode was well done.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And this car chase was poorly done.
Poorly done.
I'll give the episode. And again, I, if this was all Scully's visions, like of course Mulder would be like a badass in a fight scene.
I love that justification for it. Yeah. I rewatched that episode and I think
and
I told you
that. And he would
be
wearing his gray t-shirt.
Yep. Yep. And I will rewatch that episode. And like I said, and I thought for a moment that when she had walked into his office, there was no pencils in the poster. Yeah. And then when she woke up, she would have just automatically put the pencils in the poster in her mind. And I thought that was going to tell us for sure that she was dreaming, but that's not true. There are posters both times. And they're like, oh man. Oh,
they could have just not shown it. I think that would have been a better decision to just not shown the poster, like done it at a different angle. I don't know.
No, but, it's fine. Speaking of which, what happens to Joe McHale?
Oh, well, I just assumed that he went off the air still. That's where we left him as getting kind of shoved off the air because he never came back in reality because that was all fake.
No, I understand that. But like, I feel like his character was big enough of a problem or a big enough of a part of the everything that it's weird that he's not in this episode or probably not in the series.
I agree, but I think he's going to be back because I feel like I saw he was filming.
Oh, well, if he's coming back, then it's okay.
I think he is because I think Gillian Anderson put out like an Instagram picture with him in it like while they were filming this recent season.
Okay, good.
Unless it was like an old photo, but that doesn't make any sense. No, I think he'll be back.
As long as he's back, that's all I care about.
Yeah. Yeah. But honestly, yeah, I liked him. But if he's not back, I'm fine with that because it feels to me kind of like they're abandoning that plot line.
Well, it's also weird because that plot line was an interesting commentary on the political world at that time.
Right.
And now because of like we've talked about how different
things
the world
have changed. Yeah. In 2 years, it's amazing to think how much has changed.
That character plays very differently now, I think. And so it would be interesting to see what the interpretation of it is post-Trump. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm excited for the implications of that throughout the next few seasons.
Yeah.
Or not seasons, episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's talk about this scene with Scully and Mulder in the hospital room. First of all, before that, what did you think of Mulder's voiceovers?
They were weird.
It was weird, right? Like, outside of a monologue, I felt like it was odd. Like, it did in a weird way. Like, it was very, very jarring and strange just, like, where they were put in and kind of they came on the heels of, like, really intense scenes and kind of ruined them, I thought, a couple times. But, like, they did used to do that. Like, back in the day, like, it was almost like they were filling out their case reports, you know? And they would do voiceovers. And so I felt like it could have been a nod to that. Like, that this is him kind of filing out his X-File case report. And when I kind of looked at it that way, I was like, okay, I guess it kind of makes sense. And somebody also pointed out to me, too, on Twitter that in the episodes where Mulder has that weird sort of brain reaction to the spaceship. Do you remember those? It's, like, late season 6, I think. And Scully goes to Africa to, like, find the ship and try and look for the cure. Like, she does a lot of that. Like, during those episodes, it's almost like she's talking to Mulder, but it's just a voiceover. And I didn't really think it was odd then. I just think here, like, it's not that it was odd. Like, it's, okay, it's out of place for the X-Files, because I don't think that's true. I just felt like it was very weirdly put in there, like, at weird moments.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. And that, I think, was one of the additional things that made me think that it was, like, a lot of condensing an episode together.
So like a lot of them were cheesy, but the one that I liked was this one when he's in the first time we hear it, the first time we actually hear the monologue, weirdly enough, is when he says, The thought is imperishable, a fear that takes hold in the gut that the person you care for most in the world could be hurt by you, by your actions, the simple fact of knowing you. Oh, wow. I feel like that part of the monologue, or the whatever you call it, the narration, was so good because I feel like I needed to hear him say that. Like, I needed to hear Mulder acknowledge that Scully is going through all of this because of him. And I know he has kind of before, you know, but yeah. I feel like at this point in the show, after all of this, especially knowing what's going to happen later, like, I felt like it was very, very fitting and a good place to put that. And I liked hearing it. Like, I liked hearing that.
What? And I agree 100% with you, but now that I'm thinking about it, she is just as much involved and was hand selected by cigarette smoking man in the beginning anyways, that it really isn't Mulder that drew her in. It was the syndicate putting her on the path to begin with.
Right. But I'm not blaming him for that.
No, I know.
I'm saying it's important that he feels that.
No, I agree.
Because he doesn't know the things that you just said.
No, you know? And this, like, I'm sorry. I agree with you 100%, and I'm starting a slightly different conversation.
Yeah. No, and I know, and I just, it's good to clear up, because I don't want, like, everyone to think I'm a Mulder hater because he's put her through all of this. I don't think, if he had his way, he wouldn't have put her through any of this, obviously. Yeah. We know that. And she has actually said several times to him in the past and kind of the most recent movie and so that she's done with it and she doesn't want any part of it. And so after hearing her say that, it's just important to me to hear him admit that. You know what I mean?
I agree.
It's nice.
I agree.
So I wanted to say that. I also wanted to point out about this scene when Scully comes to and she's telling him all the stuff and he kind of doesn't really like take her seriously, but then he's like, you know what, I think you're a little crazy, but I'm gonna humor you, you know. It's interesting to me too, like whenever they reverse their roles and Mulder is like kind of trying to be skeptical and she's the one who's kind of like saying all this crazy stuff, I like that. It's when it's personal is when he starts to back down from the crazy stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And this has happened over and over again. I feel like, you know, whenever it's involving Scully or it's involving his family or whatever, like he kind of backs down from that. Which I think is interesting, and I, you know, I don't know if I like it or not, because he should be listening to her. Like, she sounds like she's of sound mind. She's like, Mulder, you know me, I'm not an irrational person. Like, this is all real. And I think when she says that, it kind of clicks, and he obviously believes her to an extent because he goes to look for Smoking Man, you know?
I agree. Yeah.
So, but I just thought that was interesting. And anytime they reverse their kind of typical roles, I like that.
Well, and this whole episode was sort of the reverse roles where she's got this idea and this vision kind of, and this crazy thoughts and Mulder's the one who has to be like, okay, I guess we'll try to prove it somehow. And let's see whatever you say, you know, crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about the, like, all, like, the brain activity? Like, what do you think is really actually going on here? Like, I know.
I don't. That was the weirdest part. Like, it didn't make it. Like, I could not comprehend a justification for either. At that point, we didn't know what about the William connection. But, right. Like, any reason why Scully's brain would be doing Morse code in a way that, as a way to symbolize anything, like,
right.
And not only is it Morse code, it is literally just the word him.
I thought it was find him.
No, it's just the word him.
Oh, do you know Morse code?
Well, no, I looked it up.
Oh,
cause he said it's six dots and two dashes. Four dots is H, two dots is I, two dashes is M. Okay. So it's literally he and that's the jump he makes. He's like, I saw it. It's six dots, two dashes.
Right.
That's
right.
Him. Find him. And you're like, cause that struck me as like, that's not enough dashes and dots for the words find him. And it's not, it's just the word him. And it's just like, okay, that's a big jump. You know, he went him,
yeah.
Find him, find your son. And you're like, what? Yeah.
But you know, I did. it didn't bother me that he saw that, because I think, you know, we've known in the past that Skinner's kind of like ex-military. And so he, it, you know, what seems kind of strange is it makes sense to me now that he would pick up on that so quickly. And yeah, I know what you're saying. Technically, it wasn't correct, but maybe that was just a production issue. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No.
He knows the people who are watching don't know Morse code, so whatever. Okay. I mean, unless you're saying there's a story problem here that, like, he made something up. Like, is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying it just, it doesn't realistically work, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't understand why her brain would be doing that, expecting, like, sending that message. And then his jumps from the word him to find him to find your son just seem weird.
I don't think they mean find your son. I think, well, he's guessing that, but I don't, obviously that's not what she's saying.
Well, no, so. And I'm not necessarily, no, he's saying find their son, like her and Mulder's son.
Yeah, no, but that's not what she's saying. She's saying find Smoking Man. That's what she's saying.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because that's what she wakes up and tells Mulder.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that that's what she's signaling.
Okay, then that's that works a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want to talk about Skinner a little bit?
I guess I don't know. Skinner's doing Skinner's thing. He's doing what he always does, and that he's going to play as well as he can both sides, but he's going to do what he can to find out everything he can from Cigarette Smoking Man so he can save Mulder and Scully. I don't for a moment think he's not going to. And now that I say that, I also think there's a 95% chance he's dead by the end of the season.
You think so? It's possible that we could lose Skinner. And, you know, if it's in an honorable way, I would be okay with that. But I
see that happening. Yeah. Him playing both sides one last time, to save Mulder and Scully. And then he ends up having to die because of it, you know?
Yeah.
But
I think that would be compelling and dramatic, and I'd be okay with it. I really liked him in this episode. I think it's great that they gave him stuff to do. A lot of stuff to do and important stuff to do. And it makes sense to me too that they've been talking about in the promos, like, oh, there's going to be some tension between Scully and Mulder and Skinner, and they don't know what's going on with him. And now I feel better about that, knowing that he's not a bad guy. Like, he's not going to turn on them.
No, I don't think so.
As far as I think, he's obviously withholding this information because he cares about them, and they don't know that because they're paranoid about everything.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really interesting dramatic story choice, and I actually really like it. I'm interested to see where they go with it in the next few episodes when they have to, come to him for help, and if he ends up telling them, like, how they're going to end up finding out. Like, it's interesting. It's interesting to me. And the fact that Smoking Man, if he is lying, knows that Skinner is like the perfect person to stick in this position.
Yeah.
To kind of pull, like, drive a wedge between him and Mulder and Scully, and kind of take away their allies. You know, like, it's smart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was a fan of Skinner's role in this episode more so than any of the other episodes in last season.
Oh, definitely, definitely last season it was pointless. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I like his role. I don't for a moment worry that he's actually changing sides. Right. I think he's doing what he needs to do, and I think it's great. And I love the fact that Fox was like, "You smell like cigarettes," and then, like, that's all he needs now. Especially because this day and age, I guess there's so little, there's a lot less cigarettes, so you mm-hmm. don't naturally just smell like cigarettes anymore when you go to work.
It's
so
odd if you smell like it. Yeah, and he knows what that means. Like, that, you know, here that's just like a pretty standard red flag.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love, because I feel like it's the first time they've used that, and it feels like something that's like, oh yeah, how is that not something we talked about, like, since season 3? You know what I mean? Like,
Jeffrey Spender.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Yeah. I liked him in this. I thought that it made perfect sense. It didn't feel pulled out of nowhere. It felt very necessary mm-hmm. to have him in here. I'm not quite sure how they knew that he was the one who hid William. So that's a little confusing, but I mean, it makes sense to me that he's the one who took care of it for Scully, and she made him promise to not tell her.
I feel like I knew that somehow.
Well, we probably assumed it during the episode William, when she actually has to give up William because he's the last one to talk to her about it, and like she kind of makes the decision in that moment. I don't know if it's in that moment, maybe it'd be the following scene, but like they never actually explicitly say that Spender was going to help her with that. They don't say that. So it was kind of a nice little bit of information that I think we didn't have, but again, that makes sense. It's like, for me with the show, when something tracks, I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah,
when
no,
it
totally
makes sense and it works and it's in it, it's you know, fitting with what I know of these characters and what I know of this mythology, then thumbs up. So I mean, great. He's looking probably a little bit better than he should. I mean, he and Smoking Man have got some great plastic surgeons. Do you think that Smoking Man looks better now than he did like in season 9? I think he does. He's not even smoking out of his neck anymore. Like, he almost looks completely back to normal.
Well, no, and that's the thing, is I think that what's interesting, because I don't know whose choice it was, but they're going to chalk it up to the fact that it was a fake, in like a fake memory last season. But like, remember last season he had like the nose thing that he could take off and stuff? That's not here anymore. He doesn't have plastic nose anymore.
That's almost like in Scully's worst nightmares. It's like, that's why I feel like there's something more to these visions. It's not just a vision of the future. Like, it's something that her brain is creating.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, like a lot of the things about that make sense to me when I think about them. Okay, this is all happening from Scully's point of view. It makes sense.
Yeah. That being
that's
said,
that's how she looks at him. She thinks he's a monster. You know what I mean? So it makes sense to me that would happen, even though we know that's not really what's going on.
That being said, I still don't buy the justification that he's still alive. But we got to let that go. We got to let that go.
We do. I agree with you, because the only thing I can think of is that it's because we know that he is immune because he's got this science that they've talked about that can heal anything, that can heal any disease. I don't think it can heal being blown up by a missile at all. But I mean, if that's what they want us to buy, sure.
Yeah.
It's not good. I'm not going to sit here and say it's good. It's not good. But I mean, I'll move on and let it go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's the same argument. Like, they purposely went and showed it go all the way down to his bone. Why is this a question?
They made such a point to show that. It's just just frustrating. I mean, I guess it's still possible that he's some sort of clone or, I don't know, something. Who knows? Huh. It's still possible.
That's interesting.
You never know. You never know what they're going to pull out. At any moment, some new piece of information could come out. Just like this one.
Speaking of which, is the reason we know, because I, like I said, I thought I knew that he's the reason that the William is, he helped William, Jeffrey did. Is there a possibility that in that audiobook we listened to, they mentioned that?
No, I don't think they mentioned Spender at all. Okay. I could be wrong. But you said something about not hearing this name, Vandekamp, and we knew that. Because in William, they say that in the very first scene when we see William being brought to the house, they say, Mr. and Mrs. Vandekamp.
Okay,
it was hard to find you. So that's canon. Like, and they had that in the actual episode, so we knew that was the name.
Okay.
So, you know, again, nice continuity. I mean, I would expect them to know the name since they wrote it, but you never know with these people.
No, exactly. And that's good. I you're going to be our go-to person for the last several seasons, because you know it a lot better than we do. We've only seen it like once, maybe.
Right. It's helpful for me. And I'm actually, because of some of my wacky theories that I've come up with, I've been really recently watching some of the later episodes that suck, because I feel like there's a lot of information in there that might be important. As much as I hate those episodes, there is lots of information there. So
the other interesting thing that I thought of, and now I'm having a second half of that thought, and it's not going to be my conspiracy theory of the week or whatever, but I like how this season has continued last season, sort of talking about like, there were aliens, but this isn't an alien plot anymore. You know, like, right. like, and they've continued that. They also got a little bit of a dig into, like, because aliens don't want our planet anymore. Yeah. They're like, why?
Shocking.
You guys have screwed this up enough. Never mind.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear. And I wanted to bring this up, too, because from all the opposites, from the very beginning, now that we kind of know that, like, okay, the point, I guess, every time is to find out who's doing it, men or aliens, you know? And I think what's pretty clear is that the aliens are good. They're the benevolent ones. And whenever anything bad is happening, it's our government. It's like, it's our people.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I have come to decide. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, and again, it tracks. Like, it makes sense. Like, a lot of the time, like, even things that seem super confusing when there's all these different types of aliens, like, the aliens are healers. Like, they're trying to help. Like, whenever you see, like, the real aliens or the human, not the bounty hunters, because that's different, but, like, like, Jeremiah Smith. Do you remember that guy, Jeremiah Smith? He was the one who, like, healed everyone.
Yeah.
Like, the aliens seem to be, like, the benevolent force trying to be helpful against the evil sort of government conspiracy. And again, I don't know how much of that has evolved over the years, because I know they used to talk about an alien takeover and how the colonists were these, like, horrible, this force that wanted to take over the Earth. But again, how do we not know that that's not all made up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it very well could be, and maybe. That's kind of where I'm at this point, is I feel like all the aliens are good and all the government is evil. That's kind of bad.
Well, that's interesting. And then the second thought that I literally just had is maybe that's the end of the season and the end of the series, is that the aliens then do change their mind and come and help out or something at the very end.
Yeah, it would be interesting if they gave it any sort of real world closure, but I'm not keeping my hopes.
No. And I, like I said, that was just a random thought, but
yeah.
But yeah,
that would be fantastic.
I like that they're continuing the trend from last year, which is, oh yeah, aliens are tangentially related, but it's not the aliens that we're worried right. about right now. You know, that date came and passed, and it didn't work. But now their implications of that are what the cigarette smoking man is doing to ruin everything.
Right. And they have kind of, like, that has carried over from last season, because that's what he's kind of out, is that, hey, this isn't really aliens. This is just men. Not that they didn't exist, but they did at one point, and they don't anymore.
Yeah. Or at least realistic. They don't matter anymore, really.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Another interesting moment is, two things. The guy that Mulder ends up seeing, who is
Mr. Y,
basically a new guy now, right?
Right.
Yeah. I get a very weird Steve Bannon feel from him for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, because it's called kind of always on our minds.
Yeah, I
hear what you're saying.
And not only that, when then the person who kind of reminds me of Steve Bannon talks about cigarette smoking man, he says basically he was supposed to be our hope. He was supposed to get stuff done, but then he kind of wasn't listening to anybody else anymore and just did what he wanted to do. And I felt that was a very interesting political message too.
Yeah.
And that one I feel is stretching, but it just works so well, I think, especially after yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. It's so nice to see the stuff I wanted to see 2 years ago are now able to play as more relevant in that way because of what's happened in the world.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, and it does feel like it feels like the X-Files is finally taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice. It's nice to see.
Yeah.
What about the part? This made me laugh out loud when they're sitting in the hospital room and they're talking to the doctor about Scully's visions, and she's like, you know, this is really sensitive, but they used to do these experiments on people, and Scully actually says, I'm not a part of any experiments.
Yeah, no.
I laughed out loud because I'm like, what the fuck, Scully? You've been a part of like 82 experiments.
Yeah, no, I agreed with that.
It was just such a strange line, right?
Yeah, like there's definitely a way you could say that where it's like, I'm not part of any government experience as far as I know now. Yeah.
Just the way she said it was just like, you guys are crazy. And I'm like, no, Scully, you actually have been, and you know that. So why are you saying it? That bothered me. Yeah. That was really annoying.
Unless she is chalking everything else up to the actual, aliens. And so she's like, I've never been a part of a government experiment. No, now aliens have done
she's
a lot of crap with me. But
Yeah, she's always believed that it's men.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't make sense.
It was just a strange thing to say. I don't know why they put that in there.
It's not right. That sentence is not correct.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Okay. I'm ready to go into Monica Reyes. Are you?
Go ahead. Yep. Okay.
I am wondering why her. And I'll bring this up later as part of my wacky theory, but it's so mind-boggling to me what's going on with her, and especially because I don't know if you saw this tweet earlier today, but I guess somebody said something about, like, you know, it was like about an X-Files fest or con or something, and they said, come meet villains, Smoking Man and Monica Reyes. And Annabeth Gish took issue with that, and she was just like, wait, what? Villain? I don't want you to paint Reyes that way. See how the season plays out.
Yeah.
And she said that. And so to me, it was kind of like, oh, okay, are you spoiling by saying that? Because I'm just like, okay, so are we going to find out that Monica is actually good? Like, she's actually, like, doing this for some sort of reason, and or is she going to come in at the last minute and save the day? Or, like, what is going to happen? And so I'm still completely, my mind is still completely boggled blank. No clue why they would be putting her in this role, except what I'm going to mention later as my theory.
Okay. I and hopefully this isn't your theory or anything. I thought Monica was one of the few things that we might be able to redeem from last season, because with it not being a real thing, that Monica wasn't even there or something. Maybe that was just like, I was hoping that that was like a familiar face that the Vision just filled in.
Right.
Or
kind of like the Scarecrow. You were there. Like, yeah, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So finding out it was kind of real was upsetting.
Was upsetting. But yeah, for some reason in this version of it, she seems, I am less worried about her than I was last season in terms of her being a bad person. Like especially
you
with,
think that
with
she's
Skinner,
gonna be redeemed.
Yeah. With Skinner doing what Skinner does, I feel like she is also sort of not 100% down with the bad side. She's just
kind of being forced.
Yeah, exactly. She knows Scully is being targeted and stuff, and so she's going undercover super deep to see and is maybe doing some stuff that she doesn't really want to do, but she's just, you know, trying to get in as deep as she can to try to be there if she can help somehow at the appropriate moment.
Okay. Well, see, I'm wondering, I mean, this isn't really part of my theory because it's kind of two separate theories. So I'll just say it. Like, I'm wondering if she's kind of been a mole all along, working for Smoking Man or being maneuvered by him.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Even unknowingly. And the reason I say that is because I just recently watched the episode, This Is Not Happening, season 8, where we are first introduced to her.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first shot of her, she's standing on a cliff with her back to us and she's smoking.
Wow.
And that never occurred to me as important until I rewatched it recently. And I was just like, that's weird. Like, and if it's not intentional, it's really cool, you know, because now she's working with him.
Yeah.
So it made me want, and it was funny because they made a point to like point it out in the episode. And she's like, I know it's not really, I'm trying to quit, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like they make a point of the fact that she is a smoker. Like, it's part of her character.
You need to totally tweet that. I actually did
earlier.
Oh, good, good. I think that we need to get a still of that and tweet it. Did you tweet
it? I did. It's tweeted.
Oh, good, good. Okay, good. I like that. And I think that if she's always been a mole, I'm okay with that.
I don't, and I'm not okay with it really because I genuinely believe that she cares about Scully. And like, there's been way too many scenes where I'm like, they're friends. Like, I think they're friends. You know what I mean? I don't, like, it felt genuine. Like, it felt like she's a good guy. And so that's why I kind of was just like, maybe she's being maneuvered by him. And to us, the smoking thing was just a sort of foreshadowing thing that was a throwaway thing at the time, but now it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
Or maybe she
don't know quite what to believe about that, but I think it's possible.
She's another Scully where she was working with the cigarette smoking man and then she kind of fell for Scully and Mulder a little bit. But then because she was that allowed her to get back into the thing. You know what I mean?
So she's kind of a double agent is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. She's a double agent that's turned. She's been a turned agent kind of.
That makes it kind of feel a little better. And some of the stuff that she and Smoking Man say, like, I wrote some of this dialogue down because I think it's very important. Monica says, Scully and her boy have a bond beyond you, beyond science. And I think what she's talking about is the connection that they are now having.
Yeah.
And he says, she's completely unaware of that.
Yeah.
And then Monica says, really, what makes you so certain? And then Smoking Man says, it's a secret only you and I know. And that was something that he actually said that I was just like, okay, there's something going on, but he's not aware that she's having these visions because then later she says, what if Scully finds the boy first? And he says, you and I won't let that happen.
Yeah.
So he does not want Scully to find William, but at the same time, he's aware that she has this sort of connection with William. But he doesn't think that this is happening yet. Cause that's kind of what I got from that. Like, what did you get?
I could read that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But I wonder what the secret is. It's like, and just wait until, you know, you hear my theory. It might blow your mind. But I'm still holding out hope that Monica will be redeemed. It's still just such an odd.
Now, here's an interesting question. If your theory is supposed to blow my mind, this won't be it. So I'm not spoiling anything. What if she's working with Skinner?
That didn't occur to me.
Yeah. What if she's consciously, what if she's already set all this stuff up with Skinner? Maybe she's even the reason Smoking Man came to Skinner is maybe a little bit of her influence, especially with how bad she was at trying to kidnap Skinner.
Yeah. And she kind of essentially let him disarm her. I don't know. Like he seemed genuinely surprised and Smoking Man wasn't even in the car at that point. So it seemed like. And that could just be like a misdirect. Who knows? But
yeah. Well, it could also be like, wait, what are you doing here at the moment? Like.
Yeah.
Last time we talked, you were going to be following Cigarette Smoking Man, and maybe he's already put together. Well, but if you're here, and you were supposed to be with Cigarette Smoking Man, that means he's about. Oh, there you are. Okay. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
So yeah. No, it would be an interesting thing, and then at least both of them, because both of them feel like they're in similar positions where they're kind of like. I don't honestly think both of them are turned.
No.
And so therefore they're kind of in the same spot almost.
And Monica feels like she feels like in certain scenes that she's kind of play acting, like she's acting like more hardcore than she is, like with Skinner specifically.
No.
And then when she's with the Smoking Man, she kind of jabs at him like she'll be like, we're talking about Scully, like you're in love with her, like just, you know, trying to get a rise out of him. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. It's just, it's really interesting acting that she's doing. And I'm curious. I'm just really curious to see where this goes.
I'm just hoping it don't go somewhere. Like everything. I hope all our thinking and all our thoughts are actually there. And
I know.
And it's nice.
That's
to,
a big if.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is like, having my theory about last season come true makes me feel like there's a chance that maybe we aren't off base and maybe there is an overarching plot, you know?
We're smarter than we think. I have to say that like if any of this comes to bear out, I will give Chris Carter a due amount of credit, assuming he gives our Mulder and Scully a little bit of happiness at some point. Briefly, I just wanted to point out, this is just kind of dumb, but I just think it's really funny that like on Scully's phone, you know, when Skinner goes in and he's looking for Scully and she's not there, but her phone's there and because he calls it and then it comes up and it says Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's funny how her phone says just everyone's last name. It says Skinner and then it probably says Mulder. But when her brother calls, it says Williams Jr. Scully or William Scully Jr. Like, it just makes me laugh because her brother's such a dick. She's probably just like, I'm not calling him by a nickname.
Anyway, yeah.
I just wanted to point that out. That was
I also like the see-through floor that suddenly was there.
Oh, yeah. I hate when they do that. It's so distracting. Like, they're just trying to be artsy, but I'm like, no, it's just distracting. Because I'm like, yeah. I'm like, who's... my first thought was, where's there a glass table in Mulder's office? That was my first thought. It was just really distracting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it would have been fine for him to just pull the phone out and look at it. Like,
yeah.
Or no, wait, it's her phone. Just to look on the floor, and it was face up. You know what I mean? What? Like,
yeah.
Why couldn't it just been face up? It's so stupid. Anyway. Ugh. Anyway. Let's talk about this car accident.
Which
Scully.
One?
Scully's car accident. Yeah, you're like, which one? First of all, like, Scully should know better than to get behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Bad Scully. Bad Scully. But, you know, she's desperate at this point, and she's just trying to do what she's got to do, and she's kind of manic, and obviously something's going on with her brain, so we can cut her a little bit of slack. But this kind of leads me into something that you and I were talking about just before we started to record that was very interesting, because we get our first glimpse of Miller and Einstein here.
Yeah.
And since last season. And they apparently are the ones who pull Scully out of the car.
They definitely are. It, on a second rewatch, you totally see Einstein's red hair
his
neck and arm. And
yeah.
And when you watch it,
pulling her out.
Yeah. And when you watch it, you're like, it seems generic, but now after knowing who it is, you go back and watch it and you're like, no, I'm pretty sure those actors were actually there on set. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. And I wanted to point this out because some people were saying online that they thought it was strange because they were behaving like they didn't know Scully, like they had never met her before or didn't know who she was. And that didn't occur to me on my first watch or even my second watch. It didn't occur to me because, like, all you see is you see them in the hallway and the nurse is like, well, how did you know to bring her here? And she's like, oh, because of her medical bracelet. And I'm like, well, they would say that if they were her friend, because they don't know what hospital to take her to, you know what I mean? And that makes sense. They would take her there. So that didn't really bother me, but it was weird when I was watching the crash scene again, that they were calling her ma'am. They were saying, are you okay, ma'am? Are you okay, ma'am? Like they didn't know her.
Oh, well, I disagree with that point. I feel like, are you okay, ma'am, is being said by somebody else.
Okay.
Because there's like,
this is helping me because my brain can't square with the fact that they don't know who she is, because that would mean the entire Babylon episode didn't happen, and I'm like, that's a bridge too far.
Well,
right?
But here's the other half of my argument. Okay, first off, they sort of push through a crowd of people, and mm-hmm. and the "Are you okay, ma'am?" happens before that. I feel like, or at least enough before that it doesn't feel like they're the ones saying it.
Okay, and like maybe they rush forward because they know it's Scully.
That's what I would think. Okay. But
the only other thing that bothers me too is that later when they're leaving and that creepy guy passes them and is heading right for Scully's room, they don't even seem to care. They just kind of keep walking.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can just chalk them up to like, okay, they're not obviously not working on the X-Files, so they don't have this crazy paranoia thing happening, which, okay, I can buy that. But I was like, that really seems a little irresponsible. Don't you agree?
Well, and that's the other half of it. I think that there's a likelihood that maybe they don't know her based on their conversation in the hospital to the person. Is they never say Scully. They just said her. They say her too many times.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But like I said, I didn't notice my first watch. You said, hey, people are saying that they might not know her. But I don't get that from the crash. I get that from the interaction with the nurse where they don't say Scully. Like, they had enough interaction to Scully that they would say to the nurse, we know her, or we know Scully.
Right.
Or
it was just it was an odd scene, right? Yeah, it didn't seem like entirely like them. Like, we would know them as characters. Like they were the only characters that seemed a little off and that seemed purposeful. And then the theory that people were saying was that Babylon never happened either. And my brain can't even go there because it's like, I'm having a hard enough time just trying to keep straight the fact the finale didn't happen. You know what I mean? And so I'm just like, and for what purpose? It's like, I don't think anything that happened in Babylon, as much as we didn't like that episode, I don't think anything that happened in it felt like it should be fake, you know? So I don't know what reason or what that could mean. Because obviously they wouldn't have met them before in Babylon. Babylon wouldn't have happened. Or either that or Babylon happens after all of this, which again doesn't make any sense. So I don't even know what to make of that. It's just strange.
I think it doesn't make any sense for it to be more than just the last, the finale. I think we have to chalk it up to, at this moment, another moment like we talked about with the phone call from Scully, where to us it sounds like she's being held hostage, but it's just bad script writing by Chris Carter. Yeah. And it's just bad script. That's not his intent.
You're making something out of nothing.
Exactly.
Is essentially what you're saying. Yeah. Let us know, people, what your thoughts are on that, because that's one of the things that I really, that's completely a matter of perception.
Yeah.
And I'd be really curious to hear if other people saw that or felt that, because like, to me, like I watched the thing twice and it didn't jump out at me. And then as soon as somebody said it and then I watched it again, I was like, that is really weird. So anyway,
and back to Babylon for a second.
Yeah.
When we watched for 2 seconds, to me,
I'm just kidding.
The response that the two of us had to Babylon of it going, oh wait, so the Muslim guy is the bad guy. That seems cliche. Is the same response I had to the weird maybe rape thing at the end that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. It was the same sort of like, well, that feels a little weirdly cliche. And
that
like,
didn't shock you though? Like, it shocked me.
Which one?
The Smoking Man reveal.
What it? But the it instantly felt icky and I felt I didn't have time to be shocked because I just it felt too icky too quickly.
Right, but icky and cliche are completely different things.
Well, it felt icky, and then it had me go to this thing where it's fair, you know, writing, especially in comic books and stuff, has always sacrificed the girlfriends and all those things and had bad things happen to them so the superhero can go out and do something and creates a motivation for the superhero, and it's just a bad trend.
Yeah.
And so I automatically went to that too. Sort of the...
I think that we don't need to spend too much time on the implications of that.
No. I just
moment because we that don't was, know what's happening.
That was a similar moment to me, I think. Is one of those things where you're like, oh, it is the cliche. Great. Okay, to me.
I don't agree, but I can appreciate
I understand what
you're
saying. Yeah.
I don't think it felt cliche at all. I think it felt very new and weird and I don't know. Did you want to say anything else before we kind of wrap up the synopsis about the new cabal? Like, did you have anything else to say about them and like their plan? Like, I have a feeling Mulder's right and they just are saying they want to colonize space, but they really just want to save themselves, like all the cabals.
So you don't think, I could take it two different ways. I think maybe they are trying to colonize space, but Mulder is right in the sense that like, if they do that, it's still going to be one of those things that it's still going to be, you know, 0.001% of the population anyway. So either way, most of the people are dying. It's just which one it is. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I don't know. I think there's a possibility that maybe that is part of the message. Maybe that's like, maybe they're 2012-ing it kind of, you know, and it's just as bad a choice as the other one. It's sort of,
yeah.
And this is going to be a minute, but I'm going to take it as fast as possible. I heard a really interesting synopsis of what episode 3 of Star Wars should be. And it would be really interesting if Anakin saw what the Jedi were doing, saw all the weird, like taking them away from their family.
Wait, you said Anakin. I'm confused.
Yep. Episode 3.
Anakin's not in the new movie.
Episode 3. I said episode 3.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the new movie.
Nope.
Okay. Start over. All right.
In episode 3, it would have been more interesting, and it felt like everything would have been set up for Anakin to have seen the Jedi, the way the Jedi do things, seen how corrupt the Jedi themselves and how horrible their situation was. And then when given the opportunity to go to the dark side, he goes, well, the good side really isn't all that good. They have a lot of problems with what they do. Right. They take kids from their families. They don't let people love each other.
Which he essentially did say.
Yeah, exactly. So then he goes to the dark side and tries that for a second. And then is like, oh wait, they're bad too. But it's too late and he's stuck with that. And it's a weird, interesting dichotomy and it makes his choice make more sense and all that stuff. And it feels like that kind of thing where it's like, there's two sides, but they're both equally bad. So who knows what's going to happen.
And that's kind of what Mulder think, like Mulder deep down, he's a bit tragic, but he is our hero. You know, he's not going to go with the Cabal no matter what.
No, I know. It's like equally. But I think there is a chance that the Cabal is actually trying to do that, which would make things interesting, I think.
Yeah, I'm interested. I hope they're in it again because I felt like I wanted to see a little bit more of them, and like the Barbara Hershey character, I thought was a little wasted. And I was just kind of like, okay, well, I thought there was going to be more to that. So hopefully they come back. I mean, maybe they will.
That's the weird thing is why does it model what Cigarette Smoking Man is so much? Is it literally just so you have a woman and a guy smoking, so Motor gets confused and for a minute,
I thought that was the case, that there really was no smoking man in Monica, and these were the actual people that were in charge.
Oh, that would have been cool.
You know what I mean? Like, she saw it incorrectly or whatever, but then later we see that they are real, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, so much for that theory. You know what I mean? So
No, I love that theory. I mean, it's definitely not true, but, like, right. I really love that William is like, well, there's this guy who's in control, who's cigarette smoke, and this woman, and Scully has just, her mind just has inserted faces that she knew.
Yeah.
I love that.
Too bad that's not what's going on.
Oh, I love
it. You never know. I mean, she could be getting her wires crossed in any possible way. You know, we won't really know until this whole thing wraps up.
Now that both of them have been seen by Skinner, it would be really hard to try to push that through. But I love it. That was awesome.
Right, 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 right. So.
I guess that's it. Mainly.
Do you have anything else to say? I mean, I have some more things to say, but I mean, I'm going to bring them up a little bit later.
Yeah.
For my overall synopsis, I just wanted to say too that like the ending where Mulder and Scully are talking about like William, how William will find them and all that, and then he's like, "Well, what do we just wait?" And she says, "We do our work." And I was like, "Okay, it's a little clunky, but at least they tried." To deal with the fact that it's going to be jarring next week. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't deal with it at all last time.
No, I agree. But my problem is, if it had stopped there, I would be okay with it. But then she was like, because the truth is in the X-Files, and if we do it, we'll find the truth. And it's like, no, there's nothing you're going to find in any of these one-off episodes that's going to lead back to this.
I know, but I mean, at least they tried.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, stop at that sentence that you said. Say, oh, William will find us while we're waiting. Let's do some more X-Files.
I mean, I like how she said we do our work. And then when she said the truth still lies in the X-Files, I was like, oh, that's such a Chris Carter line. It's like so cheesy. And part of me was just kind of like, okay, well, that's like, of course. Like, of course, that's how we're going to go off. You know what I mean? So I just kind of rolled my eyes at it. And I was like, well, at least they tried. Last time they didn't do anything even resembled trying. So, you know, this was, I appreciated that they kind of righted or wrong in that regard.
I guess. I think the truth really was kind of in the X-Files at the beginning. But I don't feel like any of it would be now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in the first six episodes, he found out some stuff, and that led him down this weird road, and there was some truth in the X-Files, and the X-Files led him to that. But it's not now, unless they completely change the way they do linked those things together, which would have been kind of cool, I think.
It was clunky, but they tried.
Yeah.
I'm giving them props for their attempt.
Okay. Bingo card. I don't think we got bingo.
I didn't try. Sorry. I had a bunch of people over, so I didn't have a chance, but I know you were playing.
Not even in the rewatches?
No, I forgot. I'll do it in the next episode.
No, that's okay. And it's cool because I think that bingo card works really well every single episode.
Every week, right? So. Yeah. That was my point. I was thinking of something that was pretty general. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
The ones I didn't get was the Scully hair change. She didn't really change her hair. She doesn't run in heels, I don't think. There's no kisses.
Mm-mm.
Scully doesn't.
Does he kiss her forehead? He doesn't.
No, I don't think he does. I don't feel like Mulder is flirty. I don't feel like Scully is flirty. The closest thing is at one point she kind of puts her hand near the end on his thigh. Like,
yeah, that was a little flirty.
Just high enough that you're like,
Yeah. Just high enough to give everyone a little bit of excitement.
Yeah, exactly. No sunflower seeds. No. Mulder doesn't have a theory. It's Scully, and Scully isn't skeptical, so they don't
That's really true.
There's no flashlights.
Nope.
There's no gray t-shirt. There's no Dagoo. She does say, it's me, Mulder. Not Mulder, it's me.
Yeah, it has to be Mulder, it's me.
Okay. And then the other ones were, I gave it a bed, in bed, because she was in a bed. It just happened to be a hospital bed the whole time.
It's still a bed.
Yeah. There's alien sightings, but the alien sightings are in a flashback, but it's a new flashback. So that counts. My question, my big question, what we saw Monica, we saw the poster, we saw William, we mentioned William. She says our son several times, but not my son.
No, because that was the big annoying thing for me last season was that she kept saying my. So finally, when we find out that it may not be their kid, she's finally saying our.
Which is exactly why she is saying our now, probably.
Exactly.
So I didn't really count that one. And I don't think anybody in this episode says alien DNA, but when they're doing the recap and all that stuff, somebody says it in last episode. So
I didn't buy that one. Recaps.
Okay. So, but this recap also included recaps within the episode kind of. So it was a weird thing to throw together. So that was just enough not to get any,
not to get any bingos. Well, we'll see. We have 9 more weeks to try.
Yeah. We'll see if we get a bingo. That was the other thing. The title card that came up right before the episode said the special 6-episode miniseries. So they're literally just recycling a card from earlier.
Are you serious? I didn't notice that.
That did for mine, as far as I could tell.
Okay, that's bizarre. If anyone else saw that, send me a screen cap because that's bizarre. On your actual cable?
Yeah, like the warning or whatever it is, like right before.
Okay, I'm going to have to check mine because that's crazy and very, very lazy if they did that.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we do Wig Watch 2018?
Sure.
I don't have a whole lot to say about this episode. It wasn't really very fashion forward. I was upset that we didn't get to see Mulder in his gray t-shirt. Like, at least that had it going for it in the finale. But he was looking very good in his suit. I loved the suit. I had a few people comment on the fact that Mulder was looking old, like older than even last time. Would you agree with that? I think he was just kind of tired and scruffy.
I would agree a little bit. Not a whole bunch.
Don't get me wrong. I think he looked fine. So fine as in hot. It didn't bother me a bit. But some people were saying that, hey, Gillian Anderson looked amazing and David Duchovny looked old. I don't know. I think they both look amazing all the time, so I can't really comment. Okay. But if we're going to talk about the wig, I think the wig actually looked much better. This, even though she's just laying in a bed and it's kind of supposed to be messy, it looked like real hair, which is, again, that's all that really matters to me. Okay. So,
is she still technically a blonde now in real life?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But it was good in this episode. I thought it looked good. Even though she didn't look so good for most of the episode. Poor Scully. Always in danger.
Well, like I said, Mulder was really bad off last episode. So
yeah, but it was fake. Right? I mean, come on. I'm not splitting hairs because I think if any of our eagle-eyed viewers out there have ever tallied it, Scully has been in mortal danger far more times than Mulder.
I
would say probably even twice as much. I would go so far as to guess that.
I agree. Like, across the series, I'm just saying last episode, Mulder was the one having the problems. This episode, Scully was.
Okay. Fair enough. In terms of Wig Watch 2018, that's all I got.
All right. Shipper moment of the week.
Okay. I'm actually very excited about this because we haven't talked about it yet. And it was my favorite scene of the whole episode. When Scully's getting strangled, this is the weirdest shipper moment, but I gotta say, it was like the hottest murder I've ever seen. Right?
When Mulder comes in?
Yeah. It was just no hesitation. It was just like, get off her, dead. Like, he didn't even know who it was that he was killing.
Yeah,
he got him from behind.
Yeah, he doesn't know who he was.
No.
I mean, like, if you're choking Scully.
This person is strangling Scully, and so he's dead. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, have we ever seen Mulder do anything like that? And I don't think we have.
Now, maybe that means that this is all fake, too.
No, I don't think it is.
No, I'm joking. It was a joke. It was a joke.
I know. Okay. Don't mess with me like that. Because it was very, it was actually like one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, that's a really big deal that he did that. When I first watched it, I was like, oh, cool. He saved her. And then when I really started to think about it, I was like, that's a really big deal. Like he straight up cold blooded murdered somebody. Usually like if Scully's in trouble, he's going to like take out his gun, pull the guy off, maybe shove him against the wall or kill. But this was just like, no.
Nope. Yeah, dead. Exactly. Oh, dead. Exactly.
And the shippiness of it is threefold. First of all, it was, you know, the hottest murder ever. Second of all, it was just the way he was grabbing her face and the way she was grabbing his hand. Like, I don't know, but those two are like magical. Like, it was just like the simplest, dumbest thing. And I was just like, oh my God, amazing. And then when it cuts back to his face and he's looking off at the guy and then he kind of looks back at her, like it was like grade A acting. And I mean, I think these are both really good actors, but I've said it before and I will say it again. They are never as good as when they are together.
Yeah.
And this was just one of those moments that I was just like, holy shit. Like that was like the best look and moment that I have seen since this show rebooted 2 years ago. Like it was incredible. And I was like, it was so simple too, but super awesome. My shippy moment is the hot murder and I'm sticking to it.
No. And I agree. Like it was like, oh, that was cool. And then you think about it and you're like, I wonder what kind of weird scenarios it could be where like, it looks like she's being choked, but it's not really. And now he's just killed somebody because he doesn't know who he is and just comes up right from behind. You know, like,
and again, doesn't matter to me. It was just pure animal reaction. And I loved it. Loved it.
Okay,
plus, the guy deserved to get garroted. So garroted. I don't know how to say it. He deserved it. So it's all good.
All right.
Anyway. Okay. Are we moving on to our crazy theories?
I believe so. Well, first we need to quickly talk about, and you tweeted it out, and I even tried to do it, but I couldn't get anything nearly as good. The Williams segment definitely sounded like something being played in reverse. And so somebody on YouTube actually reversed it and EQ'd it a little bit. I did the reverse enough to know that I think that what he came up with seems reasonable, but I couldn't get as EQ'd as he did on YouTube. And basically, it's not plot at all. It's you'd think it would be some kind of amazing reveal, but it's not. It seems to be a message from Chris Carter that's just like, hey, guys, thanks for being great fans. I love you guys. And the truth is out there, 2018.
Yep.
And so it's okay. I guess that's a cool Easter egg because it doesn't reveal, you know, he knows it's people are going to do this. So it doesn't reveal anything of the plot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it still reveals something interesting and Easter eggy for the fans.
Yeah. Are you going to play it?
Because it's not mine, we'll just point to the tweet.
Well, let me give you the name of the person who tweeted it. It was at NoFilesDoom, D-O-O-M.
Okay.
This was the person who tweeted it and made the YouTube video. So if you want to check that out, maybe go to that guy's feed.
Because he did a really good job of getting it out. Yeah.
So thanks for that. That was really kind of cool. And I don't know if Chris Carter's ever done anything like that before, which gives me all the more reason to think that maybe this really, really might, thank God, please just be the end. Please.
I
would be fine. I would be fine if this was the end and they didn't do any more TV. And then if they all decided in a few years to come back and do it like a Monster of the Week movie, I'd be totally down for that. Yeah. I think Jillian actually would be too, regardless of what she says. I think she just is done doing the TV.
Yeah.
So
I think cool. It is. It's interesting. It's neat. It definitely feels a lot more like something Lost would have done. Or there's a couple of others. Archer does a lot of these weird, crazy things like this. And so it's neat to see Chris kind of trying to do it, but also doing it just right. Like, I feel like this is the right way of doing it.
I would never have noticed that.
Okay. But to me, it was done right. Like I said, it doesn't reveal any plot. So the people who find out don't get anything that they can share and ruin for the rest of the world. but they still get a message that goes, hey, thank you for doing this. And yeah. it's a nice message.
Yeah. 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 There we go. I liked it too. Okay. So musings of a podcast host, yep. Right? Okay. So my theory is a little out there. So I'm not okay with Smoking Man being the father of William for obvious reasons.
Okay.
I'm not okay with him being the father and Scully being the mother. That, like you said, it's gross. It icks me out. But this is my theory.
Well, even if Mulder is the father, he's still technically the grandfather.
Right. And that doesn't ick me out, though, because it doesn't.
No, no, no. I understand.
I don't like
I'm just
Mulder
saying,
being completely cut out of the situation.
No, I agree. And but
so for me, it's an all or nothing situation. And my crazy theory is that if Smoking Man is telling the truth and he really did this and he is the father of this baby, that I'm not entirely convinced Scully is the mother. Bear with me.
All right.
She has no ova. We know this. The way that she got pregnant was miraculous because she was barren, we thought. And all of the tests that she did, that she did with her doctor, didn't take, allegedly. But she still became pregnant. What if she became pregnant with someone else's baby? Put there by CSM. He's the daddy. Some other woman X is the mommy. And Scully is simply the surrogate. And this is all just some big experiment. And William is neither of their baby.
What if Monica's the mom?
That was going to be my next thing. Monica is a good candidate for that because, and this is why I have this written down, that to me is good motivation for her to be doing what she's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of any other motivation other than the fact that she has found out that Smoking Man used her ova to make this baby, and she knows this baby is hers, and is doing whatever she can to keep the baby safe. That to me could track. It doesn't necessarily track with some of the conversations that they have with each other, but it could. It could. I'm throwing it out there as a possibility, and who knows? It may not be Monica. It may just be, it could be anyone. It could be just a random,
yeah.
Who knows?
And I think
the idea that this baby may not be half Mulder and half Scully is not like in my vocabulary. So it's all or nothing. It's
all or nothing. No, I like that. I
or
like
it's
that.
Not their baby.
I like that. I think you back it up relatively well. I think the timing works in to connect that with the thing that we were talking about Monica earlier, which was maybe Monica has been working with a cigarette smoking man. Maybe she doesn't find out that. Maybe she knew that, and that's how they got hooked up with each other to begin with.
Right. So, right. Which is very far-fetched. I'd be much more willing to believe that, like, Monica was at some point taken advantage of in the same way as Scully and her ova were taken from her, just like all these other women. Like, this is something that goes on. Like, it's not far-fetched to say that this has happened to Scully. We already know that, like, Scully was the mother of a baby that was surrogated somewhere else, that Emily in season 5. You remember that?
Yeah.
We know that this is a thing that happens. So if they're going to take William away from us, they better take him away from us completely. Honestly, I hope that's not the case. My best case scenario is that Smoking Man is lying or wrong, and it really is Mulder's baby. But how would we even know? Wouldn't he and Smoking Man have the same DNA?
Well, it would be slightly different.
Right? I don't know how that works. I'm not like it's a very scientist, complicated. But I feel like they would have very similar DNA.
They'd have
how
similar.
How is Billy not going to? Has not done a DNA test on this child is beyond my comprehension.
That's another good question. I like the theory. Like I said, I like it working in conjunction with Monica. I think that Monica's joke about cigarette smoking man falling in love with Dana is more funny because it's hit her almost poking. Does it make sense if she wasn't part of the theory, the conspiracy to have her baby? But if she was part, then that's sort of her going, you know, sort of take, not offense, but like being a little annoyed. It's like, wait, but what about me? I'm the one who's the real mother. You took my, you know what I mean? Like, kind of like, but you're falling in love with her or something like that. Like, I don't know. It's an interesting theory. The only thing that doesn't track to me then is the connection that Dana and William have then is completely non-biological, it's alien communication-y kind of something.
But it's perfectly possible that that was something that was given to them for whatever reason by Smoking Man, because he says to Monica, like, you and I know the secret. You know what I mean? Like, as in, like, they did something that would connect them. For what reason or purpose, I don't know, but there's something going on. And the fact that he says to Monica, only you and I know the secret, makes me think there's something going on there. You know what I mean?
Dana still have the cure to cancer in her brain?
In her neck, you mean?
Oh, it's in her neck.
Her chip.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because maybe it's some kind of communication where that's one end of a receiver. And then when William was born, he got the other end of a receiver. And now they can communicate between those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's perfectly, perfectly possible. But I really quick before we go to your theory, because I does your theory have anything to do with the Smoking Man parentage thing?
No.
Or is it something different? Okay, then let's wrap this up. I wanted to read one more thing about, I know I said I wouldn't do this, I'm already breaking my resolution, but stuff that Chris Carter said about an interview about this. They said back in season 7, did you know at the time what was really going on when CSM drugged Scully? He says, yes. So William's parentage reveal has been part of your plan for the show since 1999. Yes. But of course, if the X-Files never came back, we would never have gotten to explore it. Then they ask, when CSM says he's William's father, is he literally his father to some biological extent along with alien DNA? And Chris Carter says, no, he's the figurative father. If he's not the actual father, he didn't rape Scully. He impregnated her with science. That's what he says. So it's very, very, very possible that he's just messing with Skinner, and it still could be Mulder and Scully's baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's possible. And another thing I wanted to point out that maybe not everybody noticed.
He could be the father, like Al Gore is the guy who created the internet.
Yeah. Right. The father, as in he always likes to call himself God. You know, he always likes to say that he's playing God. And even if it wasn't his sperm, he's still making this baby. You know what I mean? If that's what happened. And it still grosses me out, the idea of that that's a thing that's happening. But if he did make this baby, it's possible he made it with Scully's ova and Mulder's sperm, and it's still their baby. Yeah. Who knows? And he's just fucking with Skinner. It's possible. But I wanted to mention, too, that in the flashback, they made a change. And I would never have caught this if I hadn't just watched this episode a few days ago. But he says, when she says, you drugged me, you know, in the flashback for the Enemy episode, when she says, you drugged me, how did I get out of my clothes? And Smoky Man says, we carried you, my housekeeper and I. You can ask her. That was new dialogue. He had said in the original episode, he said, I carried you. And that was the end of it. So he has either in this memory that he's telling Skinner added a housekeeper to make it think that, oh, maybe this is just some woman who was there that was helping him that could, who knows, I don't know, it could be Monica, it could be this Barbara Hershey character, I don't know, some other person that was witness to this, or they're retconning. Those are the only two options.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I like it.
So
good job.
I just thought it was worth pointing out, though, because there was no housekeeper in the original dialogue. Yeah. So.
You should tweet that, too. Theory? Make sure you tweet that, too. That's a good one.
Yeah.
My theory is, and this would be interesting, is at several times it feels like Cigarette Smoking Man takes a drag of his cigarette, and then Scully has a memory or has a fit. What if somehow his cigarettes aren't just cigarettes? They're something more. And that's the reason he's been smoking them for so long and continues to smoke them, is because they are...
they give him some sort of power.
Power, or like if it were Harry Potter, it would be like a wand. And every time he smokes with the wand, it does something. It would be interesting if those cigarettes actually end up having more value than they're just boring old cigarettes.
Or then that's just like his thing. Like there's actually a purpose to them.
Exactly. Like
it's interesting. I would say it's far-fetched, but you know, in this show, nothing is.
Yeah. Well, it also feels like one of those things that, like, if you're doing a continuation of a series, you go back and go, hey, look, that thing nobody cared about, we're going to make that important. And and it just feels like a way of doing that. And so that's really where it's coming from. It's like, if I were redoing this, I've got a guy named the Cigarette Smoking Man. I would go and find a way to justify that even deeper, like make that more important somehow.
Right. Like, that's interesting. Yeah. I like that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that, like, her visions came on the heel of him smoking.
It feels like, well, because every time he ends the, you know, thing, and then he goes, and maybe even, you know, because then you go, okay, well, one of the first things he asked Monica to do was give him a smoke, and then suddenly she was on his team. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It's, there's this, and it just might
That's
be
funny.
A
yeah,
fun game they play or something, but.
Who knows? It could just be an editing, story editing decision. Oh, exactly. I don't know, but it, you never know with the show. Like, honestly, there's so many things that are just like, they seemingly are meaningless and then turn out to be huge. Like that episode Enemy that we all forgot about.
No, it's good that you remember that, because in that, when I first saw that flashback, I thought he was flashing back to like the very first episode of the thing. And I'm like, so wait, how did that mean that he impregnated? But I'm glad there's an actual episode to flashback to. That's
right,
what my confusion was.
You know, he didn't say 25 years ago. He said 18 years ago. So,
I don't know.
We all know that Scully was pregnant for about 14 months too. So, I mean, that's a little strange and nobody has addressed that, but whatever.
So William's 17 now?
Apparently, I think that's what is, I think that's what's going on. And I'm excited to see more of him. Like I said, we need to see William in this first episode, and we did. I can't be mad. They technically showed him to us. He's real. He's alive. He's a character, and I'm happy about that.
It's probably some hot 17-year-old from like the.
Okay, I don't want to think of that. I don't think that he's going to be what you're saying. I think he's going to be very kind of an average-looking person.
Well, if your dad is Fox Mulder, are you going to be?
Maybe he's not. If your dad's Smoking Man.
Now there's some bad wigs for you.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Should we rate the episode, or do you have any more to say?
No, let's rate the episode. I'm trying
to
remember.
You go first.
Yeah, I don't know. My ratings are always so weird because they're always random.
1 to 10 cigarettes.
It's 1 to 10 cigarettes. I'm going to give it like a 7.5.
Oh my God, that was going to exactly be my rating.
That's awesome because I almost want to do like 8 or 9 because this made me like the finale last season. Like I rewatched that the other day and then I watched this and it makes sense. And literally the only thing about this episode that I don't like is the weird icky factor at the end. And now, even that, the more we talk about, the more it's not I don't think any of us actually technically believe it was an actual sexual encounter.
Yeah.
It's still
I think
problematic.
People are getting so up in arms about like, we can all agree that it's wrong that he did this experiment on her, but this has happened to her several times. This has happened to several characters several times. I think the only thing that's making this weird is that the way he said it and the way that came across make you picture it.
But
you know,
and
that's the ickiness, and I don't want to picture that, even though we know that's not what happened.
Well, and that's what somebody else tweeted that we were talking to, was the fact that Chris Carter purposely does it in a way that makes us think about an actual sexual encounter.
Yeah.
And that is that's almost more disturbing than what anything else. You know what I mean?
That's problematic, and I agree. I think that's problematic, and there's no like takesies backsies on that.
No,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like you can't unring that bell. Like that image is now out there in our brains, and it's never going to go away, no matter what. And so that's you know, to me, that's worth knocking this episode down a couple couple cigarettes.
And I almost want to try to justify it in some kind of, like he does with the Trump stuff that we already talked about. Maybe there's some kind of message he's trying to say about powerful men, especially in Hollywood recently with all these scandals. But I don't see how it could be a message like that.
No,
you know what I mean?
Plus this was done before. Well, maybe it wasn't done before. I mean, sure, they've had plenty of time to re-edit and do stuff, but I feel like this was filmed well before all that started to happen.
Okay.
But it is strange in the common climate. It's a strange decision. I mean, I don't know how much creative control or input the actors have. I'm shocked Gillian Anderson went along with this, because I know knowing what I know of her, I know that, you know, She's very feminist and very against this sort of thing, and I don't think she likes the way they treat Scully. So my only hope is that, okay, I don't know if she would have gone along with this if they didn't have some sort of reasonable resolution.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm still kind of holding out hope that it's not what we think, like I said, nothing's going to unring that bell and take that image out of our minds, whether he's lying or not. So that's what's problematic. Well, but
and
we'll
that's
see.
That's also, but that's some of that. Some of that's the point, though. Like, he could easily have said, like, well, there's, you know, he could have said something to the effect of, like, well, I like to think I'm the father or something like that. Like, something that was just enough information to make you not picture a sexual encounter.
It was intentional.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it was meant to shock. It was for shock factor value. And that's, I think, to me, that's what's problematic, is I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, we were shocked, but at what cost? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it has some sort of long-term damage.
I think that that's what I talk about when I'm talking about cliche, is how rape has become a cliche for characters.
Okay, yeah.
But for a shock value kind of thing, so...
Okay. Now I see what you're saying about that. You were saying, like, generally using rape as a cliche. I thought you were talking about the actual specificness of smoking man impregnating her.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I agree with that then. I agree with that.
Okay, so 7.5 cigarettes.
Yeah. Right. You know, overall, I got to say, the main thing I came out of this episode thinking, we can wrap this up, but the main thing I came out of this episode thinking was, after I got over the ickness of that last part, which I didn't like, I was like, this is the first time I've been, like, genuinely excited about the X-Files again in a long time, even before the show ended the first time. Like, I remember thinking, like, right away, I was, like, theorizing, and I was thinking about things, and like, oh my God, what could it be, blah 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 blah, and I actually kind of cared, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, it got me really excited about the X-Files again. So, you know, I can't fault them for that. They did their job.
Well, and I agree with that 100%. I think we're way more excited about this, at least the two of us are, than we were after the first episode last season.
Yeah.
Last season, yep, we were like, oh, okay, well, let's see where this goes. And this time we're like, oh, this is getting interesting. This is neat. I want to see what happens. And there's plenty of time for Chris to let us down.
I mean, let's be real. He will at some point. But I mean, I keep telling myself, like, okay, what did I say last year? They need to win my trust back. And I thought this episode was a step towards getting my trust back and not away from it.
I agree. Because this episode made you feel like Chris knew what he was doing the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Despite, and I hate to admit that.
Even knowing the fact that he didn't.
But I don't necessarily know if that's a fact. I look at how this fits, and it fits. It doesn't feel like they're just doing it because.
No. I was trying to make a quick joke and it didn't work. This makes you think that Chris Carter knows what he's doing and cares about the audience and cares about telling the whole story, unlike last season ended up. Where he was just, where we know that he's like, if that's the way it ended, that's the way people ended. And you're like, what? No, that's not a... Yeah.
I know. And again, we have to wait and see how the rest of the season plays out. But I think it's a promising start. And I'm very excited about next week. I hear next week is supposed to be amazing. So
cool. I'm very excited. That's the end of this. You can find us on Twitter at X-Files Diaries. You can also search iTunes for X-Files Diaries. Download us there and leave a review and rate us. And it's a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. And I think the truth is out there.
Or within a lie.
Ooh.
See you guys.
See ya.